thank God for the privilege of being able to meet together in person today. But I also thank God for every one of you who's tuning. We're observing social distancing here. And of course, we are observing the hygiene and the face masks here in this church. This is South Street Baptist Church in Greenwich. My name is Pastor Gideon Nash. I'm the senior pastor here, and I'm going to share the word of God with you. Last week we started a message with a theme, Jesus is a present reality. And our key Bible verse will remain Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8. And I'm reading from the New King James Version of the Bible. It says that Jesus is a present reality. For that reason, we cannot serve a historical God. But what Hebrews 13:8 says, that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, the same Jesus Christ thousands of years ago, that he walked upon the face of this earth in the form of human nature like us. The God who took a human nature and invaded our space, who worked upon the face of this earth, the same Jesus is yesterday, today, and forever. Therefore, you and me cannot look at Jesus Christ as, oh, he came and went. And then we forget about it and say we worship him only by name. But anything to do with him does not mean anything to us. We want to follow not a historical God or a historical Jesus, but we want to follow Jesus, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Last week I did mention to you, I'm not going to preach the same message. Go to our church website. The information is there on YouTube, and it's also on the website in audio. I did say that Jesus' birth and ministry was heralded by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is needed for man, you and me, humans, to be able to access a supernatural God who is Spirit. Without the Holy Spirit, you cannot access God. Did you hear that? And we access God through our prayers. And when we have the Holy Spirit in us, it releases a channel for us to be able to touch base with God. The only being that is able to access God. God created human beings. God created animals, plants, and birds of the air. But they cannot access God because they don't have the Holy Spirit in them. So God gave you the Holy Spirit for a purpose. And therefore, without that, you are not able to access him because God is Spirit. Did you get that? So if that is the case, no wonder Jesus Christ, while he was here on this earth, he was always accessing God through prayer, and he was always carrying the Holy Spirit with him. Because we need the Holy Spirit. We need him to fill us, overshadow us, so that we'll be able to access God. We're able to connect God. We can able to shout to him. We can able to cry to him. We can able to call on his name, and he will hear us. Hallelujah. And secondly, I did say that we should cooperate with God for him to use us. Each one of us need the presence of God to empower us for ministry. That means to serve him and to serve others. We are to continue Jesus' ministry here on earth. Now that he is risen from the dead, he's not here physically anymore. So you and me need to continue the same ministry. Because if Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, that's not a cliche statement, but it should be a present reality. That if he is, then what he did here on the cross, what he did here on earth, we should do the same. Because as the Father has sent me, so send I you. You see, history has literally dragged our church from literally being Christ-centered, Christ-likeness, and Jesus Christ, Holy Spirit, empowered people into just having a comfort zone. We just come and socialize. But thank God we are not doing that no more. Thank God this is the nature of God, that we will see him as a present reality, because our Jesus is not dead. Right? And I did mention in that sense that the Old Testament, we saw the prophets who were ordinary men, But when the Holy Spirit came upon them, they became powerful tools in the hands of God. Today I'm going to talk about two characters, in particular Samson and also Saul, King Saul of Israel. And I hope that I'll be able to finish that statement, that preach within the context of my time. Now, so let's today look at Samson. Samson was a casualty of war. Samson was a casualty of spiritual war. Samson was an ordinary human being like you and me. Samson was a judge. Judge not in the sense that he would go to court and then drop the gavel and say, "This is my judgment, everything." No. When you read the book of Judges, you hear about judges, right? About 13 of them. And one being a woman, Deborah. Now, the judges were administrators and military rulers. During a period of 400 years that the Israelites were in the promised land, God's people were in the promised land, but they had no king. Or they had no one to lead them. And God raised a judge to be there for them. And Samson was one of such judges. He ruled for 20 years. But he was a special tool in the hands of God. Why? Because he had the Holy Spirit come upon him before he was born. He was one of three recorded in the whole Bible as the Holy Spirit coming upon him before he was born. Samson, John the Baptist, and Jesus Christ. So you see that he was the only one in the Old Testament that the Holy Spirit came upon him before he was born. That makes me special. But I want to progress this message, and if you stay with me, those of you on online, stay with me, for there's a revelation coming to you. Hallelujah. You see, the Holy Spirit was upon him, just like was upon Jesus, just was upon John the Baptist. Yet we only speak of Samson as a strong man who fought the Philistine, and then we laugh at his mistakes. What do we know about Samson? Strong man, isn't that right? What else do you know about Samson? Long hair, strength, whatever it is. That is only our little picture about Samson. Samson was more than that. Samson was a type. T-Y-P-E. A type, in the biblical language, we call it typology. Typology is something or someone in the Old Testament who points to and represents something in the New Testament. Typology, in a simple way, is something deep and spiritual in the Old Testament that most of the time point to things to come in the future, and in this case, to point to Jesus Christ. Samson was a type. I'm sure that is new for most of you. Samson was a type. He represented the ministry of the Holy Spirit, as seen during the time of the prophets, including the last prophet, who was John the Baptist. So you can see that Samson was pointing to John the Baptist as well as he was pointing to Jesus. You know, the ministry of the prophet, as I said last week, whenever the Holy Spirit comes upon them, ordinary men became extraordinary people. Common men in the community were used by God, and they became spokesperson of God, and they were able to bring the heart and the mind of God over the nation and the people of God. Samson, in this sense, operated in the prophetic ministry. Hallelujah. I want you to get that. Samson also represented the supernatural ministry of Jesus Christ, who is to come, and the subsequent outpouring of the Holy Spirit on believers for ministry. That is the manifestation of the Holy Spirit's power to let the oppressed go free. Do you know that at the time that Samson was born, the people of Israel, or became a judge, the people of Israel had been oppressed by the Philistines for 40 years. 40 years you are under oppression. 40 years you grow your crop and someone come and eat it. 40 years someone is beating you up. 40 years you work and you get no pay. 40 years you are sick and you don't get no healing. 40 years you are emotionally broken and there's no way out for you. 40 years you are under a curse and there's no way out for you. But there was a cause. Let's go to the Bible. Let's read Judges chapter 13, verse 1 to 5. The story of Samson, you can find it in Judges chapter 13, 14, 15, and 16. But we're reading Judges chapter 13, verse 1 to 5. Okay, I'm reading from the New King James Version of the Bible. Again, the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hands of the Philistines for 40 years. Now there was a certain man from Zorah, of the family of the Danites, that's from the tribe of Dan, whose name was Manoah, and his wife was barren and had no children. And the angel of the Lord appeared to the woman and said to her, "Indeed, now you are barren and have not borne no children, but you shall conceive and bear a son. Now therefore, please be careful not to drink wine or similar drink, and not to eat anything unclean. For behold, you shall conceive and bear a son." Does that sound familiar to you, the same way the angel was talking? Does that make sense? Amen. Right. "And no razor shall come upon his head, for the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines." Deliverer means savior, right? So Samson was a type. He was more than just a strong person. Was just more than somebody who was more than somebody who had something long hair. He was more than probably a macho man, whatever it is. Samson was a type. The Philistines were sworn enemies of the people of God because they opened the door and gave the legal right for the Philistines to oppress them. We heard that they said they did evil in the sight of the Lord. Anytime that we do evil in the sight of the Lord, we open the door and give a legal right to the enemy to oppress us. Anytime you walk in sin, anytime you walk in unbelief and disobedience, anytime that you turn your back on God, you open the door and give a legal right to the enemy to oppress you. That is what he does. I don't have to go into details of what kind of sin that could oppress every bit of it. And Samson was given the ability by God to be able to defeat that enemy so that the people of Israel will live in peace. He was given that ability. Remember, he came from the tribe of Dan. I mean, he was the only person given that ability to be able to literally be free and get his people away at a time and forever from the hands of the Philistines. Samson had the Holy Spirit at birth and was continuously being filled by him whenever the occasion required. Note that word, whenever the occasion required. Anytime that Samson had to do something, anytime, Samson had to push back the enemy, the oppressive enemy, the enemy that messed up the lives of the people of God. Samson, with his own strength, couldn't do that. But the Spirit of God will come upon him. Shall we look at those things? Shall we look at a few Bible verses in Judges chapter 13, 24 to 25? So the woman bore a son and called his name Samson. And the child grew, and the Lord blessed him. And the Spirit of the Lord began to move upon him at Mahaneh in Dan, between Zorah and Eshtaol. So in that community that Samson lived, the Lord blessed him. He grew. And the Spirit of the Lord began to move upon him. So we as children of God, we don't only have to accept Jesus Christ and have the Spirit of God come and fill us and stay there. For us to be serious Christians, we need the Holy Spirit to move upon us. Move upon means overshadow, baptize us. See, the first miracle and the most important miracle you ever have is to give your life to Jesus Christ and ask for the Holy Spirit to fill you. That qualifies you to heaven, or to go to heaven when you die. Today, unfortunately, we don't die as soon as we give our life to Jesus Christ. We live here on this earth. And if you are going to live on this earth, then the Holy Spirit should be a present reality in our lives. The Spirit of God, as we grow, as we get blessed, the Spirit of the Lord will have to begin to move upon us. Jesus knew that. That is why he told his disciples in Acts 1:4, that you don't have to turn to that. Acts 1:4, just write it down. He said, wait for the promise of the Father. Wait for the Holy Spirit to come upon you. Acts 1:8, and when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, he will endue you with power. He will equip you, overflow you, overshadow you with power to be my witnesses. We've got to be credible witnesses of Jesus Christ. Christians need to be credible witnesses of Jesus Christ. A lot of us are not credible. Definitely, I believe that I'm a credible witness of Jesus Christ. And that is what we need to have. That's what we need to do. Sitting at home enough and not connecting with God doesn't make you a credible witness of Jesus Christ. When the Philistines, which stands for spirit of oppression, when it rises up, you have no defense. That is why Samson had to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Shall we go to Judges 14, verse 6, and then verse 19. Okay, let me tell you what it is. Here we see that the Spirit of God coming powerfully upon Samson. Whenever the oppressors, whenever the Philistine rose up to tackle Samson, the Spirit of the Lord will come upon him. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and he tore the lions apart as one would have torn apart a goat. Though he had nothing in his hand, but he did not tell his father about, father and mother what he had done. You see, Samson was walking along the road, say from, say, Lewisham to, say, Catford, wherever it was. And then a lion came out. He was minding his own business. The lion came out and attacked him. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon Samson. And he tore him apart. You see, the lion stands for the enemy. Satan himself. He's like a roaring lion prowling about. Looking for a target. Especially if you're a Christian and you're not growing and you are young. If you are weak and you are a vulnerable Christian, the enemy will target you because you have no defense. You are concentrating on your problems. You are crying all the time. You may be a mature Christian, but maturity is defined by your connection with Jesus Christ and your ability to overcome adversities by the Spirit of the living God. If you are not, you are a powerless Christian. You are a weak Christian. You are irrelevant in the kingdom of God. You are a Christian. When you die, you go to heaven. But you can't change your situation. He was able to change that situation. The attack that came upon him, he had that power to be able to do that because the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him. This is not just being a Christian. The Spirit of God coming to you mightily, just like Acts 2:2. There was a rushing mighty wind. In his case, it wasn't said that. But then the Spirit of God mightily came upon the disciples. They were baptized. So we need the Holy Spirit to come mightily upon us as Christians. That is when we can do exploits. That is when we will be able to fob the enemy. Because they're like a roaring lion. Yes. But when a lion wants to attack you, it doesn't make that noise because you know that he was there. He comes in stealth and grab you and grab your throat, and you have no defense. But Samson was ready because the Spirit of the Lord came upon him mightily. Shall we look at verse 19 of Judges chapter 14, verse 19. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon him mightily, and he went down to Ashkelon and killed 30 of their men. I don't want to tell you that all the details of the story. Go and read it for yourself. Judges chapter 13, 14, 15, and 16. You get all the details of the story. Samson owed a debt, and he had to pay for it because somebody really cheated him. He was so upset. This was one of the things that I didn't like about him. He was misusing the power that came upon him. But then he couldn't kill 30 people that easily. The Spirit of God came upon him mightily. And he went down the road. But at that time, he was all angry, all upset about what had happened to him. So he went to kill people. So you can have the Spirit of God come mightily upon you, but what you do with it matters. Do you get that? What you do with it matters. You don't have to kill people or exploit people with it. Shall we look at another verse in Judges chapter 15, verse 14. If you've got it, you can turn to it. Judges chapter 15, verse 14. When he came to Lehi, the Philistine came shouting against him. Then the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and the robes that were on his arm became like flax, that is, burned with fire, and his bones broke loose from his hands. His bonds broke loose. The enemy sometimes come and bind you, keep you in bondage, so that you are in maintenance mode, you are not growing, mess up with your brain, you blame everybody in the church, you blame Jesus, you blame God, you blame the Bible for all your problems, and it has nothing to do with that. It's the Philistines messing you up. Do you get that? Is the enemy messing you up and keep you in bonds? And as he keep you in bonds, the way to get out is to let the Holy Spirit come mightily upon you. And you'll be able to break those bonds when the enemy show his face. I told you from the beginning that Samson was a type. It was pointing to something into the future. About 1,250 years into the future. Pointing to Jesus Christ. And you could see that the ministry of Jesus Christ was like that. He broke bonds. He set captives free. He healed those who were sick, those who were oppressed, and those who did not know God. He preached the good news to them. Even those who were hungry, he fed them. Hallelujah. The condition for Samson to be used by God and do what was required of him is to live right and remain a Nazarite. If you can turn to Judges chapter 13, verse 5 for me. And remain a Nazarite. We are going back to the first read. I can tell you what it is. Therefore, behold, you shall conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come upon his head, for the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistine. So for him to be able to continue be a deliverer, for him to be able to continue to be a savior, for him to be able to be used by God, he had to be a Nazarite and remain a Nazarite. Hallelujah. But Samson didn't live right and became a casualty of the war that he was involved in. Because you cannot push back the Philistines that easy. And you know the Philistines, the descendants of the Philistine, are still there in today's language. The same place that they were, the Gaza Strip, call them Palestine, Palestinians, right? I'm not saying they are evil people, but I'm just trying to, that is their descendants, right? In their own eyes, were right. But then when you give them the right, they will oppress you. And that's what Samson did. And they're still here. And the oppressing, as it were, the Israelites still, isn't it? It's from the eyes that you want to look at. They're still fighting. There's still war going on. Obviously, they will say it the other way around, but let me stay away from the politics. But I'm here as a messenger of the truth because truth is eternal. So let me tell you what it is. So I just put everything aside that they are the descendants of the Philistines. He went into a prostitute and then also married an unbeliever, Delilah. That is why I caution you. Anyone who has the Spirit of God upon him or her, or anyone who has got the Spirit of God descending powerfully on you, you cannot marry an unbeliever because they will pull you down. Doesn't matter how amazing they are. This is a bold statement and I have no problem with that. Because the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and in the Old Testament many times it was there. Because you got to constantly be on the lookout. You got to constantly be and be filled with the Holy Spirit time and time again. You got to be. So to qualify what I'm saying, if you are going into marriage right now and you have the Spirit of God upon you, wherever you are watching me from, if you are a Christian, the Spirit of God is upon you, make sure that you don't marry Delilah. Hallelujah. So you can see that from here, though he had the Spirit of God coming mightily upon him, he was doing wonderful things, he was getting into things that was pulling his heart away. The very thing that he was getting in were the very thing that is pulling him away from God. And he wasn't seeing it. And I just want you to know that if you don't and you make wrong choices, you'll be a casualty of war. And Delilah managed to convince Samson to give out the secret of his supernatural strength. And you can just write the verse down. It will help you. It will be in Judges chapter 16 verse 1 and then chapter 16 verse 16 and 17. You can see Delilah literally flowering his hair and getting him to sleep and getting him to tell her the stories. Now, having shaved Samson's hair, he lost his strength. You see, which was the very strength of God that was upon him. This strength of God is also the Holy Spirit that was upon him. The Spirit of God is also referred to as the strength of God. And when you look at 1 Samuel chapter 15, I believe verse 29, it is referred to as the strength of God. So the Holy Spirit is strength of God for you. And Samson lost that very strength of God. And as early hours of this morning, I read Judges chapter 16, and when I got to verse 20, my heart broke. It says, but Samson did not know that the Lord had departed from him. When Delilah got his hair shoving, obviously she didn't do it practically, but she asked some people to do it, while Samson slept on her lap. When his hair was shorn, Samson did not know that the Lord had departed from him. You see, the Lord departed from him as a result of his Nazarite strength, as a result of the Holy Spirit that was upon him. He did not know that the Lord had departed from him. And many a times we play around. We play around. We play around. We sit around. We are comfortable. We give excuses upon excuses. And we don't know that the Spirit of God has departed from us. Hallelujah. See, these are things I'm learning as God gives me revelation. But I just want you to understand that I'm speaking the truth to you. He was quickly overpowered from there on by the Philistines. His eyes were gouged out. Right? He became blind and powerless and was dragged into prison. You read Judges 16 verse 21, you see it there. So then the Philistine took him and put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza. They bound him with bronze feathers and he became a grinder in prison. Look at the man who the Holy Spirit would come upon and he was so powerful. And now he was the laborer without pay, 0 hours in prison. Grinding. That's what the enemy wants to do. The enemy wants to pluck your eyes. The enemy wants to take your power away. And he cannot take it unless you give it to him. Delilah couldn't have known the secret of his power. He wouldn't have known the secret that his power was the strength of God. She would not have known until Samson told her. How many times that we actually put it on the lap of the enemy. The enemy has no power over you unless you hand it over to him. You give him the legal right to do that. Hallelujah. So you have a choice to stand your ground, or you have a choice to give it to him. And when you give it to him, he doesn't say, thank you for giving me all this. Instead, he'll bring you to your lowest common denominator to humiliate you. At the end of the day, he'll keep you in bondage and get you to suffer. That is his way. At that time, he was blind. He was powerless. He was dragged into prison. Samson gave that legal right to the enemy to mess his life up, to mess his purpose and his destiny up. At that point, he was not much use in the kingdom of God. You see, so this is where we say Samson has backslidden, isn't it? Because we use this English word easily. But the reality is that the Spirit of God that moved upon him to work on behalf of God, to be able to protect as a judge and as a military leader, to literally protect the people of God so that they will live in peace, that assignment, he had abdicated it to do other things. And at that point, he was useless in the kingdom of God. The same Samson, he had the same physical physique, but he didn't have any more power. Hallelujah. So our faith is going to be upon the power of God. That is why Apostle Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 4 and verse 5, that for my preaching and my message is not with, beautiful words or eloquent words of human wisdom, but it's of power, so that your faith will be based on the power of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 4 and 5. Your faith will be based on the Spirit and on the power. Amen. So how many Christians have the Holy Spirit but they don't have any power because they don't want it? Because they are comfortable where they are. They are in maintenance mode. No growth, no maturity, nothing. They're just happy to come to church. They're just happy to come and worship God. They're just happy to come and give offering. They're just happy to go and come. And when the enemy catches you, you have no choice. The reality is that we are constantly in a warfare. And we need Jesus Christ on our side. A lot of Christians talk about spiritual warfare, but they have absolutely no understanding of what is going on. And when the enemy hit them, they wouldn't even know. You see, let's move on. God was gracious to Samson. God was gracious to him, though. His hair began to grow back. Roll to verse 15. You've moved away. Okay. Verse 22. God was gracious to him, though his hair began to grow back. That's Judges chapter 16, verse 22. But even so, his hair began to grow back. He could not see anymore. However, the hair of his head began to grow again after he had been shaven. By then, He didn't have the sight. That is the gracious and mercy, or the grace and mercy of God, giving us second chances, giving us third chances, giving us the 10 chances, so we can come back to him, so his hair need to grow again. But then he has still lost something, his eyes. He was humiliated and did not fulfill his calling. Samson cried to God, but it was too late. Samson died. You can read Judges chapter 16, verse 28 to 30. He says, "Oh God, fill me again with your spirit this once." It was very painful reading that. "Fill me again with your spirit this once." Let me read this NIV translation. If it gets what I want to pin to you. The Samson called the Lord saying, "Oh Lord God, remember me. I pray, strengthen me. I pray just this once, oh God, that I may with one blow take vengeance on the Philistines for my two eyes." This is painful, isn't it? Leave it at verse 28. Please leave it at verse 28. "God, just fill me with your spirit this once. Remember me. I pray, strengthen me." He knew that the power of his victory was the strength that he got. He knew that his assignment was to exterminate the Philistines so that the people of Israel would live in peace after 40 years of oppression. His assignment was to do that. But Samson did not carry on his assignment. How many of us have been called by God? God has called us, given us a ministry, and we've abdicated it. How many of us have talent and ability and that we have to serve God with so that his spirit will come upon us so that we can actually do good, to bless people, to let people live in peace, to set oppressed free, and to bring the love and compassion and the victory of God unto people? How many of us have been in that place and yet we sit and do nothing with it? How many of us have so much gift that the church needs to serve God, and we're still sitting on it? I'm extremely grateful that I have 13 to 14 years old, the oldest probably 16 or so. I mean, manning our media desk and doing our online stuff under the guidance of probably the oldest person, Bramwell and Jessica. So I'm extremely grateful to God. And I pray that young people begin to ask for the Spirit of God to fill you. Because Samson was filled by the Holy Spirit in his mother's room. Don't listen to what the world says, that you are too young to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You are never too young. Even before you were born, you could be filled with the Holy Spirit. Jesus was filled with the Holy Spirit before he was born. John the Baptist was filled with the Holy Spirit before he was born. And Samson was filled before he was born. And Samuel was only about 6 to 9 years old when God called him to be the prophet of Israel. Yes? Prophet of the whole of Israel. So let us invest in our children in the church. Hallelujah. Let's give them opportunities. They will learn some skills. They will grow up. We have example in this church. People have grown up to be managers as a result of being given the opportunity to serve in the church. People have become teachers. People have found their sweet spot after having gone to university to do one particular course, but eventually, having given the opportunity to serve in the church, they found that, hey, actually, I'm cut for the other bit in this church. So we come back to Samson again, right? Sorry, I will not be able to touch the next message, but then next Sunday, I'll be here. So I can pick up the next story as well. So the reality is that Samson cried. Now let's move on. So I pray just this once, give me my strength back so I will take vengeance, so that I now fulfill my calling. It was too late. And verse 20, and Samson took hold of the two pillars, middle pillars, which supported the temple, that the Philistine temple, when we were having a good time. And he braced himself against them, one on the other on the right and the other on to the left. Verse 30. Then Samson said, "Let me die with the Philistines." In my translation, "God, let me die with the Philistines." And he pushed with all his might, and the temple fell on the lords and all the people who were in it. So the dead that he killed at his death were more than he had killed in his life. Samson had 20 years to do his assignment, to carry on his purpose and achieve his destiny. 20 years he didn't. He's hoping that on the last day that he's dying, he'll be able to do that. But he said that he was some, I mean, so the dead were blah, 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 more than he, and he himself died. You can read, move on to verse 31 and let's see what it says. I believe that's the last verse of that chapter. And his brothers and all his father's household came down and took him and brought him up to the burial and buried him between Zorah and Eshtol in the tomb of his father Manoah. He had judged Israel 20 years. Samson died at the last minute. So are you going to wait until you are at your point of death before you call upon the name of Jesus Christ? Wherever you are, if you are watching me on YouTube or wherever, are you going to wait until your point of death before you call upon the name of the Lord? Most people do that. But that time is too late. That time is too late. Unless the mercy of God or God decide to have mercy on you, then your spirit will be received by him. Otherwise, you've wasted your life here on this earth. So today, if you are watching me, I just want you to know that wherever you are, you have to sort out your life and remain and sort out when you sort out your life out. Put it this way. When you sort out your life, do not remain religious. Do not compromise your faith only because the world wants you to behave that way or that way or a certain way. Don't compromise your faith because your denomination wants you to live without the power of God in you. If you remain that way, you never get to your purpose, you never fulfill your assignment, and you will become a casualty of spiritual warfare. Hallelujah. That is what the enemy wants. But I just want to use the Samson story to remind you that Samson's story is what God intended to show us that we have a powerful enemy because the Philistines have five gods. Powerful gods that they worship. They had a strong army. And when they invade you, you have no choice. You have no legs to stand on. That's why they were able to oppress God's people for 40 years. And how long will you let the Philistines oppress you? How long will you remain in your state? How long will you remain an unbeliever, not knowing God or not having a close relationship with God? How long will you sit in your pew and be a pew warmer? How long will you sit under the guise of your denomination and not wanting the Holy Spirit to overshadow you? Hallelujah. Yesterday at the House of Peace training, I was telling them that, look, we Baptists, we kind of are non-conformists in the sense that... I don't want to get to the political bit about it, but I just want you to know that we wanted to show the power of God. We wanted to show that we understood the word of God. We wanted to show, that's why we broke from the Catholic Church. Not that it's a bad place, but we wanted more. We wanted more. That's why we broke from that. So why aren't we wanting more? Whatever your denomination, why don't you want more? I came from the Anglican tradition, so I mean, I cannot knock it. I cannot knock the Catholic. All what I'm saying is that it is true that I came to know God. And today, you can know God, whatever denomination that you are. You can move in Holy Spirit power, whatever your spirituality. Hallelujah. May we pray. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, this very minute, if you are watching me, wherever you are watching me from, in your home, in your car, in your office, in this sanctuary, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I just want to remind that death will come. And when death comes upon you, do you know where you are going? Have you fulfilled your destiny? Have you fulfilled your purpose and your calling? Why you came here on this earth? God brought you here. God gave birth to you, or your parents gave birth to you, so that you can fulfill your destiny. Maybe you are sitting here watching me, sat here watching me from online, and you know that you are missing something in your life. Today I want to give you a chance that you will give your life to Jesus Christ. Wherever you are, just if you want to give your life to Jesus Christ, just raise up your hand. I may not see you online, but God sees you. Say, God, here am I. I want to give my life to Jesus Christ. I want to be God's person. I want to be a God career. I want my purpose to be realized. If you're in this sanctuary and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I want you to raise up your hand and I'll pray with you. If you're all Christians already, praise the Lord for that. But wherever you are, I'm praying for you right now, and you can pray after me. Dear Jesus, today I come to you and I ask you, and me, like Samson, I've gone my own way. I've messed things up. Today I'm coming back to you and I'm asking you, oh God, welcome me back to yourself. I'm coming home. I'm coming home, God. I'm coming home, Father. Fill me with your spirit. And thank you, Jesus, for dying on the cross for me and making me a child of God again. Fill me with your Holy Spirit, Jesus. Thank you for doing that. And for you who sat here, and for you who's watching me, I want to pray for you. But you can pray for yourself too. I want you to call upon God's name and say, God, I want to be like Samson, but not his mistakes. Tell God, God, I want to be like Jesus. Because Samson was a type pointing to Jesus Christ. I want to be like Jesus. Help me, Father, so that I'll be filled with the Holy Spirit, so that I will achieve my purpose. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. I want you to continue praying, and I'm going to pray for you right now. Father God, I thank you for as many as are at this moment praying to you. Father, I'm asking in your name and in your power and in your purpose, oh God. Father God, receive them unto yourself and fill them with the Holy Spirit. Just like many times as you fill Samson with the Holy Spirit, you want us to be filled with the Holy Spirit now, baptized with him now, and baptized tomorrow, and any moment be baptized, be overflowing and overshadowed with the Holy Spirit. Father, fill us with your Spirit so that we can stand. And Father God, we will be able to achieve our purpose, so that we will stand in our calling, so that we will be able to, Father God, reach our destiny. Father God, what you want us to do here on this earth, we are ready, but fill us with your Spirit, oh God. Just like Samson said, oh, this one more time, Father God, fill us with your Spirit. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Sharaba shekelebu suntori andayanda. Father God, today I want to pray. Even as I thank you for these people that I've prayed for. Today, if you are watching me right now and you feel oppressed. Oppressed means emotionally you feel messed up. Maybe you feel hurt. You know the reason. Maybe trauma. Maybe somebody messing up your life. You feel oppressed because you have also opened the legal door and allowed the enemy to come, and you got involved in some sin. And you are not making any progress. Or you are full of untruth and you are not making any progress in life. Unless you renounce these things, you'll be where you are. But I want to pray for you. Take this opportunity to say, God, I renounce any work of the evil one. I renounce any sin. I renounce any pain and unforgiveness. I renounce them, and I give you a chance to bring healing and deliverance for me. Father God, right now I pray for the spirit of deliverance. And I pray that I receive your deliverance right now. As you make this prayer to God, as you confess to God, receive deliverance. I pray in the name of Jesus. The Bible said, we shall cast out demons. We shall set the oppressed free. The Spirit of the living God is upon me. He has anointed me to preach the good news and to set free those who are in prison. So today, you who is imprisoned by oppressive element, today I set you free in Jesus' name. I set you free in Jesus' name. I set you free in Jesus' name. Receive your freedom. Mental freedom. Emotional freedom. Physical freedom. Receive it now in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Father God, for your healing power and for your deliverance power. Thank you, Jesus. Amen and amen.